In today's episode, I go for a triple, Mike had no choice, Samantha learns of a musical genius, and JJ has a wonderful idea for a cover. This is Paranormal Activity 1 and 2.
Watch Beetlejuice right. 2 again.
Are you saying you watched the sequel?
Because when Skid was here, we went and watched it. He hadn't seen it yet. I liked it even more the second time.
Okay.
It comes out on digital on Tuesday.
Isn't it just so crazy how we now basically like, I missed that when it came out last week. I'll wait next week and it'll be out on Blu-ray.
I love it. So like,
I do too. I actually do too.
I'm so happy. Like it's like I waited a whole month to wait. Like it's been out for a month. I saw it. I wanted to watch it again. Like okay, I had to wait for Skid, and then now I just want to watch it anytime I want to. And because of this, I don't think you guys have seen it, so I won't spoil it. But I learned that a Weird Al song was actually a parody. And it was the first Weird Al song I ever heard in my life. And I didn't know that. I mean, because I knew it was like a parody, but I didn't know it was. There was another song.
You didn't know the original
song? I did not know the original song. And when I heard it in this movie, I was like, why is this so familiar? And then I was like, my God.
Well, don't keep us in suspense. What was the song?
Which one?
Either way.
It was the Jurassic Park song. Weird Al one.
Okay.
And that's all I'll say about that. Because if you don't know what the song, the parody is, if you don't know what song it is, it's just like, it's better to experience it.
I remember that album having a big-ass sticker on it that said, this is not the soundtrack to Jurassic Park.
My babysitter's older son had the tape. And I remember listening to, he was playing it in the basement, and then also Harvey the Wonder Hamster's on that one. And that's why I really hoped my mom would name Austin Harvey. She did not.
Oh, that's a tragedy right there.
That song's in the movie too.
It is. You know what movie doesn't have a lot of songs in it?
I don't know.
That would be Paranormal Activity, the movie we'll be talking about today on Funsphere Movie Club. Hi, I'm Josh.
Hi, I'm Diane.
I'm Mika.
Mika!
Mika!
Oh, Mika.
It's Micah.
I thought it was Micah.
No, it is not. And, okay, so today we're actually talking about two films. We're talking about Paranormal Activity and Paranormal Activity 2, Paranormal Boogaloo. So the Paranormal Activity is a 2007 supernatural horror film produced, written, directed, photographed, and edited by Oren Pele, I believe is how he pronounces his last name.
Soccer.
Yes, kind of. And the sequel we'll get to in a little bit, but we'll start out with the first movie. So this is one of my suggestions, and
why?
Okay, I'll tell you why.
So, we didn't even get a choice in the matter.
No, you didn't. So the reason I think this is a interesting, and I use the term interesting instead of scary, film series is because this is one of the best usage of the found footage filming convention, I believe. And it can get downright creepy. I also really like this series because, and I have them all, like all the way up to five. That because this is a film that has done one thing very cleverly. Every time they make a film, there is a hint or something about what's going on in the background of this entire universe. And each film kind of builds on that. You find out a little bit more in each film about, let's say, the demon, or you find out why the family's cursed, or all that stuff in each film. And it builds, and it's very subtle. Unlike, you know, most horror movies like Freddy, you find out how Freddy works in the first, what, 35, 40 minutes of the film?
He has a song.
He does have a song. He has a rap.
I'm Fred Krueger, and I wear a sweater.
But this is one that you can watch it for two things. You can watch it just for the base film and to see the spookiness, or you can watch it to see what's going on in the background, what they build on in the sequels, prequels, things like that. Okay, so I'll also say this. I saw this, I think, right after it came out on DVD in maybe 2007, 2008, and it was the first film that actually scared me for a long time, a long time. You know, I told you guys previously that I very rarely have nightmares. This is a movie that actually made me have a nightmare. So
I have nightmares every night.
That's crazy.
Same one.
All right, so same
it's
one.
Always
is it
the oceans rising and crashing into everything, and and also I find a bunch of pets that I didn't know I had, and they hadn't been fed in years, but they're somehow alive, and I'm trying to find proper housing for all of them, and like get their cages clean and give them fresh water and. Oh, man.
Now, is this concurrent to the ocean doing its thing, or like these are two separate scenarios?
Separate.
Okay.
It's called just trying to figure out stress dreams.
I got you. Okay. All right. So, what did you guys think of this film? Somebody can start here. Anybody?
It was spooky.
Sounds like it was spooky. Okay. All right. So, Samantha, had you ever seen any of these films before?
No.
Okay. Mike, had you seen any of them before?
No.
Neither has Milk.
Let's see if we're going for a triple here. JJ, had you seen these films
Never.
Before? Ooh, okay. So this is brand new to all of you. Okay. Interesting.
They definitely do the, like, found footage thing better than Blair Witch. Like, it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Though Blair Witch was the first... and the sequel is something else entirely. We should have watched Blair Witch. That's what I was watching on
9/11. I came out of this thinking that it was a worse Blair Witch with a lot more boobs.
Okay, let's...
Yeah.
Because they're forcing her cleavage all over that movie.
Yeah. That should have just been the cover art for the sequel.
Hey, if
that's
you got
why
it
Josh me. Loves these movies.
No, this is not why Josh.
Para
Josh
boob watch activity.
I don't know. It was so slow moving for me.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up, Mike. That's one of the things I find the creepiest about this film is because it's not just 100% jump scares. This movie forces your eyes to watch the entire frame of the film that you're watching because you're looking for anything that all of a sudden starts to move.
Yeah.
There's a shadow or something like that. I think that works really, really well. And actually, it even kind of translates into the real world because, like, watching these films, all of a sudden you notice, like, hey, was that just sitting there? Did that move? Then you hear, like, the creakiness of your house and stuff like that that you're not really consciously paying attention to. So it makes it very spooky after.
The other night, there was a cat meowing downstairs really loudly, but both Diane and Milk were on my bed.
Ghost Cat, the sequel to Ghost Dog.
That's
speaking
the,
of
totally
ghost
different.
Cat, I'm about to have one. If she doesn't shut up.
Why can't she be good like milk?
All right, so I'm gonna take the challenge here, Mikey. You said that you think Blair Witch was better than this, huh?
Have you watched Blair Witch recently?
I was gonna say, have you rewatched Blair Witch?
No.
Cause it, I don't.
I didn't say that it was better. I just said
you
that
you did say that
well,
it was. You
yeah, I.
The best thing about Blair Witch is the Scooby-Doo parody.
Agreed. That is great.
All right. So I'll rephrase it to be: this just seems like a ripoff of Blair Witch in a house with boobs.
It's called Boob Witch.
Something tells me there's a porn of Blair, or like a porn parody of Blair Witch called the Boob Witch.
I did read and was impressed that this was the second highest grossing film in terms of what they like their sheer profitability.
Yeah.
Well, because it cost $5.
Actually, very interestingly, you can cut that statement two ways. So the original independent feature, which this film is basically that, was shot for $15,000, and then it so then Paramount Pictures saw this going through like this going through the film festivals and stuff. They bought the rights. They kept most of the main movie, but they did shoot a new ending, and it cost an additional $200,000 somehow. Okay, great. But I guess that was probably to pay more of the actors and everybody to come back. Probably had to re-rent all the. Like the place where it takes the
house. Wasn't it just his house?
It's just his house.
Probably had.
Yeah, I would also charge them $200,000.
Yeah, boob insurance.
Yep. Intimacy coordinator. They gotta get a new infant.
You guys are hung up on the boobs. Here. I really did not see that coming in this film. Oh, okay.
I just like it turned into a game with Angela. I was like, "There they are again."
That woman's
were they supposed to go away or something?
Yeah, that's what's paranormal. They got taken away by a ghost.
Yeah, the true director's cut.
All right. Yeah.
Instead of her slitting her throat, she's. Cuts off her boobs.
Ooh, okay. So someone did see the alternate ending. Excellent.
Yeah. The camera slit at her throat.
Yep. So in the theatrical release, she throws Micah at the camera, and then she goes over there and like bites / sniffs him, and then she stares at the camera, and the it turns off. Right. In the original, I think it's the original ending that they. You know, of course, had to refilm, and it's called the alternate ending. She throws him at the camera again. She walks into the room. She's got a knife in her hand in this one, so it explains the blood on her shirt and stuff like that. And she stares at the camera and slits her throat, and then it says the bodies of Micah and Katie. I call them Micah too.
That's how it's spelled.
It's yeah, but so here's the real funny thing: the actors. That's their real names. It's Katie Featherston and Micah Sloat. Hmm. So they didn't even use character names.
Just like The Office.
They just used their names. I wouldn't know. Okay. So, I'm gonna take a swing at this. We mentioned that, I'll give this. Blair Witch did it first. This movie did it better. Because this is a far more... plausible, I would say, explainable use of the camera and stuff like that. Because in The Blair Witch, there's two different ways to look at the film. You can look at it as it's supernatural, or you can look at it as it's a murder mystery.
The Blair Witch story makes no sense because they start to film it as like a found, like they were there looking for the Blair Witch. Legend that already existed,
yep.
But then there's this other thing, and like, which one are they running from? And also, all it did was smack their tent around.
Yep. Yep.
And then that guy stood in the corner.
Yep, he did. He did stand in the corner.
And they just yell a lot at each other. All they do is yell. Like, yep. Where are we? Sorry. What's going on?
But this is one of those ones like, look, we're trying to record stuff to either prove nothing is happening or prove that something is happening to ourselves. And I think that just makes a little more sense.
Yeah.
Now, does it make sense to pick up the camera and take it with you everywhere you go?
That was my big question at the end of the first movie. I was like, so how many more gimmicks are they going to implore with the future iterations of this movie? And sure enough, the second one was, all right, we'll do a security system.
Which, again, I would argue is a smart use of found footage genre. It's like, all right, we're going to use...
Is the fifth one just somebody's Snapchat threads?
The fifth one is only Ring doorbells in the neighborhood. It all happens outside in people's houses in the streets.
Okay.
So. Or there's this growing trend at concerts. People will take their DSs and record them.
What?
Yeah. So you'll just see pictures of people using like their 3DSs or some other shitty kind of like super old technology that they're using just to be funny.
Oh, you can bring your camera. Bring your Game Boy.
Yeah.
Hold still. All
right. So JJ looks like he's had something to say for a while.
No. So to Mike's point, always grabbing the camera. But I think my biggest worry about that movie is 2007 technology, as far as we were kind of transitioning from hard drives to from mini DV tapes to hard drive. Like, this guy was probably shooting tons and like billions of dollars worth of footage. And if he was doing it on a hard drive, I mean, just think about the loading time, everything like that. And he's like, next morning, got it. You should see. It's like the real time render, all of that would have just been a nightmare. He was able to do it all in 21 days.
Yep. So you got a problem with the technical aspects of the film.
I was like, no, not happening.
Now keep in mind, this guy was a 2007 day trader. So this was during the subprime mortgage markets and stuff like that. This guy had cash falling out all over the place. So maybe he had a killer setup.
He should have not done that.
He should not have done that. He's lucky he got killed in the film, because he would have been killed the next year in the market.
That ghost would be haunting a new family. I mean, it is now. I mean, it would anyway, but like, that would just be a ghost house.
But that's the thing. This is also one of the first times it's like, it's not the house, it's the person that has the ghost attachments. All right, so I'll ask this for the room too. I think we've talked about this before. Does anyone actually have like a real thought on ghosts or whatnot? Do you believe in them? Do you think there's a possibility they could be real? Mike is shaking his head no.
Well, so my opinion is, I would love for fantastical stuff like that to exist, because it would make the world a more interesting place. I just don't have a lot of faith that that's the case. Who is that dog?
Gonna pet that dog.
She keeps making noise.
Now my family, especially my mom, is big into the idea of ghosts. She will go on tours and all that stuff.
Okay.
I'm in the exact same boat as Mike. I really want to believe in them, so I just kind of choose to. But in my heart, I'm like, I'm not sure. But it's like, it would just be really cool. I would love to see a ghost. My mom definitely believes in ghosts, like 1,000%. I think it would be neat. But
I would like to experience them in a friendly setting. Not something trying to terrify me, but just like something otherworldly.
And what, right. Casper shows up?
Yeah, Casper was like...
Or like predator. When a ghost is... They're trying to show you...
Did you say Casper was like treasure. Predator?
He was a predator.
I was like, now that's a crossover I can get behind.
We cannot hear this dog. We did not even know she was there.
I can
hear. Fuck, what was I going to say? And, like, I get into it. I think there's a possibility that, like, a slim possibility of anything being possible. Just because we don't know that much. But, like,
yep.
Really, not really. But I like ghosts, so I'll just kind of, it's fun to think, like, that spooky thing is a ghost and not just, like, I don't know, the earth moving, so something fell over. I know that
energy... Or, like, weird light refraction kind of stuff. Stuff that's explain...
Yeah,
it's like... Phenomenon, yeah. Like, what are they called?
Orbs.
The, No, not the orbs. The stuff, like, St. Elmo's fire, where it's, like, energy that collects on... you can see it on aircraft, but they used to, like... In the 1700s or whatever, they would see it on the masts of ships.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Energy's interest. Yeah, okay. I think the most likely thing for ghosts that could probably be real is like a residual thing, like a residual haunting maybe, because I know energy can't be destroyed and maybe something could imprint. I don't know.
Sure.
It just seems like the most... It seems way more plausible than, like, an intelligent thing, like a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay. JJ, where are you
at? I would like to just use him as a scapegoat. Like, hey, who ate the last slice of pizza in the fridge? Scapegoat. Yeah. had to be the ghost, you know. So I'm going to believe him until I stop eating the last bit of food in the fridge.
So my thing is I'm a lot like Mike and Samantha here. I do not believe in them. I definitely have family that believes in them. Like, even back, like, they believe in legends of the old country, like banshees and stuff like that.
Banshees could be real.
But, yeah. but, so the thing for me, though, I like is seeing how people react to this stuff. And I am one of those guys, I will watch, like, YouTube videos of supposed ghost videos and stuff like that. And I, you know, I'm always super skeptical of them, but, like, oh, this is just you're seeing a pattern where there's not actually a pattern. This is where you're seeing something move. But then there are a time or two where you're like, you know what? That was pretty creepy, and I can't think of a logical explanation.
God, there was a couple of years ago. I think it was, like, the first year that we were living here. There was, like, the way that the mist, it was like a foggy night, and there might have been some dirt on the camera lens or whatever, but on our Arlo, it looked like a silhouette was standing in front of the door. It was crazy. I'll see if I can find it. But I recorded it, or I had the recording, and I was like, my mom's going to eat this up. So I said,
but I will give this film some credit, because I think this film actually inspired a lot of amateur filmmakers at home to kind of show, not necessarily show, but like to try to play off like, hey, my house is haunted. This door moves, this. So people start trying to figure out all those film tricks and stuff like that, you know, where it's usually just like fishing line and doesn't show up well on camera. Stuff like that. I think that's really cool.
There's a video of this little girl. She's like 8. She's in her mom's closet and she's like, what should I wear today? And then like you hear the sound and she's like, oh my God, what was that? Oh my God, I'm so scared. Oh my God, I think there's literally a ghost in here. I'm literally so scared. Oh my God. She runs out and it's because she farted. And it got picked up by the camera, so she blamed it on a ghost. So she has the same idea as JJ.
Scapeghost, I like it.
Ghost fart.
Scapeghost.
So, Josh, my experience with this movie, over the last 10 years or so, we've become a, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank on the name, closed captioning family. Just keep it on.
Yeah.
So all of the noises... Reed's floor squeaks. So it was completely different. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm supposed to jump here, but I'm just reading what's going on. So it kind of ruined the experience.
Okay.
Being immersed in the whole bit. I thought it was good for what they were able to do. Yeah. You know, I'm older now, so my first reaction, if I'm going to grab the camera, then I would turn on the lights because there were a flight of stairs right outside that room. I'm not going to twist an ankle here. So I was like, just turn on the light, man. It would be a lot better.
Yeah, yeah.
So many things could be solved by people turning on the goddamn lights. Like...
I also will say this. This is one of those ones they did not try to play it off like it was real. Like, kind of the Blair Witch tried to.
They couldn't get away with it this time. Like, Blair Witch was at the perfect time for getting away with that shit. Nobody knew. No. They were like, is it real?
Yeah. Yeah. Until they were like, yeah, no, it's not real. Here's the actors. They're all fine.
Some people still believe it's real.
I guess. I believe it's real boring. And I will say there was an interesting attempt to make a scary video game out of the Blair Witch. Actually, there was a video game for Paranormal Activity, too.
Ooh. But,
it's called PT.
not called PT, unfortunately. But I don't know what it's for. Like, I've never seen it played or anything like that. Okay, so... Back to a question about the ghost thing. Have you ever been in a situation where you're like, I don't know what's going on, but I got to get out of here?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I know
that used to be me every night because we had dogs that were in a pen at the far end of our backyard. So every night I would have to, like, we'd come home late and I'd have to go out and feed them. Yeah. So I'd, like... walk really slowly going out there, and then I would always run back to the house. Yep.
And, like, I know the, like, evolutionary theory behind that is, you know, we're humans are pack animals for a certain degree, and so it's like we're automatically, our brain is like, you're alone, you should not be alone, so you start freaking out a little.
Well, also, we can't see that well in the dark.
There's that too.
So it's like, there's predators.
Yeah, exactly. But it's funny how, like, this stuff does happen, like, even in places, like, when you're in a house or something like that. It's just because you're in a new, usually, environment or something like that.
So we lived with my uncle for a little bit when we first moved to Illinois. And he lived in, like, a house in the woods. And it was a pretty creepy house, but, we were pretty sure it was haunted. There was, like, my mom said, when, like, the ceiling fan in the room they were in, whenever she would start to fall asleep, it would start to violently shake, and then it would stop whenever she, like, sat up. Then she'd lay back down, go to sleep, and it would start to violently shake again. It just, like, she said it happened, like, every time. And then my uncle brought out his dowsing rods, but he was like, this is just picking up currents. But we were like, woohoo, because they went crazy in that room. And and then we knew that a lady died in that house, so we were just like, okay, it's haunted. And then he moved to Nebraska, and we took a bunch of his furniture to our new house. And then there was just stuff happening. Austin swears he saw a ghost up in my parents' room. Because he was up there, and then, but he was like 3 also, so, you know, he's little. but he still swears he saw it to this day, because he got scared and just started, like, screaming, crying, and then said he saw, like a blurry mismatch of colors just standing near the treadmill, vaguely woman-shaped, and I was like, that's gross.
Vaguely woman-shaped.
And then just, like, things, like, flying off tables and stuff, or... But I feel like everybody probably exaggerated a little bit. And then we lived in this neighborhood called Lake Holiday, and they did, like, a house and garden tour every year. And our house got chosen to be part of it. And my mom told them about the ghost, and then when they were advertising the house and garden thing on the radio, they were like, and come see the ghost house. Oh, and, like, the TV would turn on. And the TV in my parents' room would just turn on sometimes. So there was, like, there were weird things happening, but I'm not, like, convinced. It's fun to say that it was, and, yeah. So then everybody knew we had a haunted house.
Okay.
I think the creepiest thing that I've ever witnessed was my cousin was sleeping over, and we were watching X-Files, and he had already fallen asleep. So I get up and go to the bathroom, and whenever I come back, he's not there. And so I'm looking all around the house, and I finally find him. He's standing upright, like he had walked down the stairs to our basement and was facing the basement door to go out to the garage. He was just standing at the door, and I was like, "Joey, what are you doing?" He had sleepwalked down there,
yeah.
But I had to wake him up, and he was like, "What are we doing?" And I was like, "I don't know. You just walked down here."
Sleepwalking and sleep talking freaks me out more than anything, I think, because they're like not there, you know.
No,
it's so creepy.
He was so confused, and he wouldn't believe me that he had done that on his own.
Oh yeah.
He thought you carried him down the stairs and sat down.
But when he wouldn't respond at first, I was mortified.
Yeah, that's scary. Yep.
Especially with the X-Files theme music playing in the background, probably.
Yeah, Jesus.
It would have been, truly terrifying if it had been Unsolved Mysteries theme, because that used to literally scare the shit.
Oh my gosh! Unsolved Mysteries too. In Illinois, there's in my elementary school in Salmonok, there's a plaque on the cafeteria wall of this little girl who went missing like decades previously, and there's an Unsolved Mysteries episode about her.
And there's a plaque?
Wow.
Like a placard, you know, like like her picture. Like,
oh, like an in memory,
yeah, like,
kind of thing.
She vanished.
Oh, okay.
Unsolved Mysteries, the only thing I cared for were ghosts and UFOs.
Yeah.
Anything else, it was torture.
Yeah.
Having to sit through those.
And now I love watching the murder stuff, but at the time, it's like, just show me some ghosts, bro. Tell me about ghosts.
So, Josh, for you, if you happen to become a ghost, what kind of ghost? Because it seems like, would you want anyone's attention, or would you just want to walk freely? It's like, I'm not going to turn this guy's TV
on.
Oh,
no, no. Freely wandering ghosts. Like, I could finally travel. That would be great.
Well, you can't. If you go outside, a sandworm will get you.
Okay, well, then I will explore the sandworm planet of Saturn. So, yeah, I would definitely be... I wouldn't mess with people. I don't mess with people now. Why would I do it when I'm dead?
I thought... Skid asked me this when we were watching the first Beetlejuice. Like, what I would do, and I'll be like, I think I said this when we were watching it, when we talked about the movie anyway. Never mind. But how I would just, like, be the best at Overwatch, because I wouldn't have a body.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe that might be hell for extroverts, as being a ghost, just want to be a part of it again. I'm just going to turn this person's TV on, tap dance in their living room.
Why won't they look at me?
So I would say this, it would be interesting to see, like, all right, say you die, you come back a ghost. Are you going to then see all the ghosts of people that have lived their entire lives on this planet? Is it
it's got to be
like
shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah,
exactly. There's
going
to be no
like
room to do anything.
Yeah,
don't hang out with the cavemen.
I was, you know, I was actually, I was thinking about this the other day whenever I was stuck in traffic, out here in Rocky Hill, because I was stopped in front of this old cemetery, and I was like, how much longer realistically can they keep this here without, I mean, because they're expanding so much that there's going to be a time when we're like, do we really care about these people who have been dead for 300 years now?
Cemeteries are cool, but I do think they're a colossal waste of space.
They also, for a business standpoint, get relocated all the time when that becomes prime real estate.
Do they?
That's
yes.
They should just build over it so we can see if Poltergeist is true.
I guarantee you, you have probably walked into a building that has been built over a cemetery more times than you can
imagine. Yeah, especially First Nations peoples.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got your First Nation people, you've got your... anything that's built in a town, you know, when it's a small town, they're probably going to put the cemetery close to the town. So when the town starts expanding, That cemetery's got to go.
In California, there's a Black Diamond Mines where we used to hike, mm-hmm. and that used to be a whole coal mining town. Now there's like nothing left, but the cemetery's still at the top of the hill, and it's very old.
Yep. Okay, so moving on back to the film. So let's talk a little bit about the second
one.
We
never talk about the movies.
Let's talk about the.
We talk about what's important.
I like that we always use the movies as springboards for bigger conversations, or crazy conversations. Unless it's like we talked a lot about like UHF, so there's. It has to be a certain type of movie for us to actually focus in on the movie.
I don't know, JJ. Do you have ADHD too?
Oh yeah, pretty bad.
We all have it.
And we just stopped talking.
I was going to say, yep. It's like, well, yeah. No one's going to refute it, so what are you going to say?
Although, I think we all are diagnosed officially, right? Like,
yeah.
Just different degrees.
So the second film came out 3 years later. It's a 2010 film. I'll say this. It's critically panned. It was not a huge commercial success. Oh, shit. I take that back. I just read the numbers. $3 million budget, $177.5 million profit.
Of course. People are going to... people freaking out. They're like, we're going to watch it. And I said, yep. I'm not.
I don't remember anything about these. Like, I don't know what I was doing.
Playing Zelda?
But it was not on my radar at all.
Samantha's right. You were probably playing Zelda.
2007
and then 2010.
I don't know that there was a Zelda then.
Doesn't matter, you were playing it.
It doesn't matter if a Zelda came out that year or not. You're going to be playing Zelda at some point.
I know that the unfortunate Skyward Sword was 2011.
So you were probably like playing.
And then Twilight Princess was 2006. So both of these movies were between Zeldas.
Yeah, so you were playing Link's Awakening.
Yeah, you were definitely playing.
Or Link
Link's
to the
Awakening.
Past.
All right, so I'm going to ask a question here. Was the dad in this film, I think his name is Daniel.
Daniel?
Was he a dick? Was he a dick for transferring the curse over?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody's in agreement there. Yep. This is also, like I said, this is the film that really starts to build on the world. You get to see the reason behind the demon chasing this family. It's kind of a throwaway line, but it's like they're after the firstborn son because they owe a debt. The family does. And that was pretty cool. I also like the fact that they didn't like, look, we're going to set up a camera to record all the crazy stuff that's been happening. This time they're like, no, it looks like our house got robbed, so let's put in security cameras. Like, it's a purely logical / plausible reason to put all the cameras in, stuff like that.
Yeah, what was pointless was hurting the dog.
Well, no, it just that further amplifies the villainy of the demon.
No.
And it's like, it'll hurt an animal.
It's a low blow, demon.
Low blow.
It's like, I'm a demon. What do I care?
Demons still like dogs.
Demons can be dogs.
Demon dog.
Yep.
Can I pet that dog?
Or Cujo, or... Is there a dead dog in Pet Cemetery?
That's a cat, right?
Cat.
It was the cat. I know there was the cat.
Every time the maintenance guy comes here, he says Diane looks like that cat. I'm like, what? Isn't that cat like really like a Maine Coon or something? Not a freaking British short hair.
It's her evil eyes. That's what it is.
Yeah, probably the orange, the copper. Well, he should get some teeth.
A lot of history down that rod.
Sometimes dead is better.
There's a dog in thing.
Huh? Yeah, there is. You're right. Yes.
Yes. What's the name of the movie? Thing.
It is. It's a kick-ass movie. Oh, yeah. All right.
Did we do that one?
Yeah, that was like one of the first ones we did.
Yeah.
That's right.
John Carpenter's The Thing that we talked about. That was the one we did. We also did Metal Gear that day. Yeah.
Jorgum.
God, we've done a lot of episodes.
We have. I think we are quickly approaching episode 100 if we've not hit it already.
Official.
Crazy.
One.
Yeah. 4 years of this stuff, man. Oh. All right, so second film. Everybody agree, not as good as the first one?
Yes.
Yes.
I can't believe you've watched all whatever, however many there are.
There are 5/6 in the official canon. I have watched through 5. I have not watched the last one yet. I do have it. I just haven't watched it. I'll say this. This is, I would argue, probably the weakest link in the films, except for Paranormal Activity, maybe the marked ones. It's way different. Like, as the joke you made, Mike, about, like, they're doing it on their TikTok and whatnot. Yeah, that actually comes up in.
I knew they were going to. Because they have to have a gimmick. So what's the third one?
The third
just
one?
Just give us a synopsis of all of them. Because I'm not going to watch anymore.
Okay, so here's the synopsis. We saw the first one. We saw the second one. The third one is the prequel.
Oh.
It was already a prequel.
It's like a parallel.
No, it's the prequel to the...
It's the one that takes place
actually,
ancient,
that is what they call this one, is a parallel film. This was not a prequel. It's a parallel film because it's taking place both slightly before, at the same time, and after the first
kind
one.
Of like what's the game? Deadly Premonition 2.
A blessing in disguise.
It's the same.
If there ever was a curse on me or this podcast, it is Deadly Premonition. So the third one is, you know how in the first two films they're talking about the stuff has been happening since they were kids?
Mm-hmm.
So the third one is the film where it's happening to them as kids.
Hmm.
And so that's fleshing it out there. The fourth one is...
I want to know the video gimmicks in them, too.
Oh, the video gimmick in the third one, it is, again, security camera, and it's old VHS stuff. Oh, wait. Am I thinking...
They're not... That? No, they would be older than that, though.
Super 8 at that point?
No, there's...
If they're kids?
This is like when they're 8 or 9, so it's like in the 80s.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were adults in 2007.
Yeah. There's all this stuff that's happening. Oh, and at the same time, the house that burned down, a new house was built on that, and the family that lives there is experiencing the same stuff again, but there is a reason.
A ghost.
No, it's the fact that Katie is around that house. Mm. Katie and Hunter are around that house. The fourth one, again, is another family is scared because they adopt Hunter. Because they don't know it's Hunter. So that's the thing, is you get to the cult in the third and fourth one.
Of course.
And so that's why, basically it's a new family. The gimmick in that one is cameras via cell phones. They use security cameras, and they use laptop cameras in that one.
Hmm.
So that's that one. The fifth one is it's weird. It doesn't have the biggest relationship to the film at first, but it does have a really weird, kind of cool ending. It's about a young man in... like Southern LA or San Diego, because I think most of this takes place in San Diego. And he buys himself a camera, and he gets a ghost attached to him, and he kind of uses it to like make stunt videos and stuff like that, because this ghost won't let him be hurt. And he eventually starts getting possessed and gets violent and stuff like that. But then it has a time travel effect, apparently, eventually. And what it does, here's where it gets kind of cool, is it like, there's no mention of, there's a mention of the cult in the fifth one, but not necessarily Katie and Hunter and stuff like that in this film. But all of a sudden, like, his powers go nuts, and he gets pulled back in time, and he gets pulled back into Paranormal Activity 1. He gets dropped into the middle of the kitchen, and he gets killed by Katie as well. So it, like, it creates, like, a time loop. And like I said, the one after that I have not seen yet. But I'll probably watch tonight just out of curiosity.
My nose is bleeding.
Yep, exactly.
Katie, it's Katie.
That's a lot. The time travel part. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It comes out of left field. It does. It really does. But the other thing, really cool thing too, is that Katie is in, I think most of these films, she's in like 4 of the 5. Like, usually she shows up at the
is
end.
Is that the only thing she's
been in? Well, I was about to say, this is her big career?
Don't know. Hang on.
I'll find out.
That was another takeaway, is I was like, these people are not actors, are they?
No, apparently this is her.
She's been in some documentaries.
No, she's been in some other films. Stuff. Yeah, but it's mostly this film.
And listen, I haven't seen any, but based on what me and Mike don't like about the first one, do they just bring her back in tank tops and just like, hey, Katie, welcome back? I'm kidding.
Oh, she was in Big Little Lies. I watched that.
Yes. She is often frequently in a tank top, but she's also kind of like she's still totally possessed, so she's kind of like a bruiser. Like,
oh, she's smacking like people with her boobs.
She's smacking, like, she's like the cult that apparently uses her as like kind of like a Jason type situation.
But
they gotta take
boobs.
Somebody out, they send Katie after.
So if the first one
got real sharp nipples.
So if the first one.
Or like Deadly Premonition 2, the one of the enemies that has like the black hole in her boobs.
Yeah. So a rating scale, if the first one's 10 out of 10 tank tops, what would you give the second one? Third?
5 bags of tank tops.
Josh, I loved it, man. It was good. I don't see myself watching the other ones because the found footage, and plus the game that we play ties into all of this as well. So it's the last month has been rough for me in found footage and cameras.
I will say that is a good point to bring up, because the found footage genre does have like peaks and valleys. Like, it gets real popular all of a sudden, then it goes away completely for a few years. Real popular all of a sudden, goes away for a few years. And I will also say this, since, you know, you're having a forced perspective in the film, in all these films, that's something they've tried, I guess, in some other films, and it does not work. Do you guys ever remember seeing the previews for that first-person movie, action movie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, people were getting, like, sick in the theaters because of the first-person stuff. Like, it's interesting. Like, that's another thing I think of is, like, yeah. And I will admit, like, I can't shotgun these things, like, back-to-back. It's like, all right, I'll watch one and maybe two together, take a couple weeks off, watch another one.
I think found footage is a cool idea, but it also requires, I feel like, an extra level of suspension of disbelief because of just, like, how much footage they have to have in order to tell, like, a story, especially if it's not just, like, a bottle episode, you know, or whatever, like, in one room the whole time. Because I think it works best for, like, short things.
I agree that it probably needs to be a shorter film or even a short film that works better. And I can see where you're coming from about that. You do have to give it a little bit of extra disbelief.
Yeah, because even how you guys were talking about how, like, he'd have to have so much footage recorded all the time. And, and like, yeah, I don't know. I like the I think it can add a lot to the spookiness and the mystery, but I think, yeah, definitely it's better for short bursts. Cause it's like if you see too much of a monster, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And then, you know, Mika's always grabbing the camera first to that point, you know, when Katie's outside on the swing set and he's like, well, I'll get a blanket. Yeah. And he's mad at her. It's like, put the camera down. Do what's right. Just make the right move. We don't need to.
I will.
They're family.
I will
vlogging.
Say that is maybe something they did kind of learn in the second film, is because a lot of times if they grab the camera, they will then also put it down when they talk to each other. So it becomes just another, like a force. It's a static shot. But yeah. Also, this is another thing that kind of drives me nuts, is I can tell the product placement in these films. Mike, I forgot to tell you. On the third one, again, or no, this is the fourth one. The Microsoft Kinect is used as part of the gimmicks.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
We sold three of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should use a PlayStation Move.
I mean, come on. This is clearly a Microsoft property. I don't know if Sony was willing to invest their Move technology. God, that thing sucked. The Move was worthless.
I liked the wand things. I thought they looked cool. They looked like fun parade accessories.
Someone just walked in playing it.
Yeah. I think they use it with their VR still, but they don't call it the Move anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody got anything else to say about these films, or are we ready to move on?
Let's move on.
All right, then. I guess we'll say goodbye here, folks. Goodbye.
Bye here, folks.
Bye.
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 Jeez.